We were talking earlier about the order of how things were happening, and I was telling Jeff that we should do that at the end. Now I'm pretty sure that would have been good to do it at the end, because it's hard to preach after that. It's been 7 or 8 years that I've got to work with Robin and his leadership and role modeling. In fact, role modeling what we're talking about today. If I can get you to open your Bibles to Matthew 7, verses 12 to 14. We're continuing on in the Sermon of the Mount. We're picking up where Jeff left off last week. And we've been in the Sermon of the Mount since January, and Jeff will be wrapping it up in 2 weeks' time from now. But if we were uncomfortable last week with the tension between our works and God's sovereignty and His grace, well, you can run, but you definitely can't hide from what Jesus is going to be telling us today as we open up His Word. Matthew 7, verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. So the wide road is appealing because it's easy. I can handle it. The world says that this is the way. I feel that I can do it myself. I can see what's happening next. I can see where it goes. I can see what it leads to. The narrow road is narrow. It's hard. It's difficult. It's lonely. And I don't always know what that next step is. Or, if I know what the next step is, I definitely don't know what the step is after that. I want to start off with telling you a story. When Carrie and I first moved here, we owned a business called the Great Canadian Bagel. When we first opened, I hired a young guy. His name was Steve. And he was a nice guy. He was quiet. He always had a smile on his face. And from the time that we started, he always wanted to take me out rock climbing. Yeah, I know. I know. I was a little bit more agile back then, but not that agile. And he just kept at me and kept at me. One of the things that you need to know is that I'm also scared of heights. So I had a few strikes against me, but he just kept at me and kept at me. He kept saying, trust me, it'll be good. You'll be safe. It'll be great. Just trust me. So he wore me down. He was a gentle guy. He had a big smile. He was a fun guy. I really liked him. And so I relented. And we're driving out. I think it was called Craig's Creek or Craig's Cliffs or something like that. So we're driving out. And he goes, don't worry. He goes, we're going to hike up, or we're going to climb up this route. Not hike. This is climbing, like full-on climbing. He goes, the route that we're going up is called Cream Puff. I'm thinking, I can do that. That's okay. Cream Puff sounds just for me. He says, you'll have a helmet. You'll have a harness. You'll be top roped. He goes, I'll have you. If you fall, don't worry. Sounding good. So we get out there, and I look up. And it is straight up. Like, I'm talking, you know, I don't know. I'm thinking back. This is like 15 years ago. But it's somewhere 20, 30 feet. I don't know. It was maybe further. And it's rock. Like, I mean rock. Like, I'm hoping for mats. I'm thinking maybe even just cream from the cream puff is down below. So if I fall, no. He goes, don't worry. So I put on this little tiny helmet that is going to do nothing. And anyway, so I start up. And, I mean, my fear of heights does not... It doesn't manifest itself in airplanes. It doesn't manifest itself in even roller coasters. Go figure. But like the Ferris wheel, you know, that tippy feeling? No. You know, the peak to peak at Whistler where you go from one to the other? No, that's not good either. Standing on top of a tall building with, you know, and looking over, that's not good. And so anyways, I start climbing up, and the first few rungs of a ladder are good for me, but once I get to the top of the ladder, it's really hard. So I'm climbing up, and not only am I scared of heights, but now I'm getting really tired, right? So I'm trying to get this foot up to this little thing up here, and my leg starts shaking. I am deathly afraid. And Steve just kept saying, don't worry, I'll have you if you fall. Don't worry. I soldiered on for a little while further, but I did not get to the top. I really didn't. It was either fatigue, total fear, I'm not sure, but probably a combination of all of those. Steve just kept saying, trust me, I've got you. My fear, just so you know, was not actually of heights. It was of falling. Falling on my head. Just falling, period. Steve wanted me to trust in the rope, trust in him, trust in the harness. I was struggling with that. But it's a lot like life. It's a lot like, because it can be scary. It can be hard. It can be difficult. It can be all of those things. If we go back to the verses that we opened up with, in verse 12, it says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Verse 12 is summing up what Jesus is preaching about in the entire Sermon of the Mount. It sounds easy. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. Love others as you would want them to love you. This is what the Old Testament is talking about. The law refers to the first five books, and the prophet refers to the rest of the Old Testament. In Matthew 5:17, I'm not going to get you to turn there, but Jesus says, he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. The reason why Jesus fulfilled it, it's not just because of the messianic predictions that he fulfilled. He also fulfilled the entire sacrificial system. Right? This was a system that was set up to deal with our sin. You know, as they sinned, they had to make a sin offering. There had to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. And what it pointed to is that we don't measure up. That we can't be good enough. We cannot earn our way. Except for one. Except for Jesus. He fulfilled it because not only did he live a sinless life, but he was also the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins, because we could not live that sinless life. The Sermon on the Mount has been leading up to this verse. Think about the things that we've talked about. We've talked about meek. We've talked about mild. We've talked about being peacemakers. All of these is focusing on others, not on ourselves. Right? We've talked about being salt and light. Being a people who will go out and represent Christ to those around us. Being that salt, being that light. These are some of the things that we've talked about as we've ventured from Matthew 5 all the way to where we are now. We've talked about anger and lust and retaliation and divorce. We've talked about being people of our word, being a giving people. We've talked about not judging. We've talked about being people who pray. And Jesus is saying, therefore, it's not about you. It's summed up in, do to others what you would like them to do to you. It's being other-centered. It's not about us. In verse 5, he goes on to say, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. This is a path that we know. We're bombarded by it. We choose that path as we go our own way. We choose to get angry when we don't get our own way. We choose divorce when our spouse doesn't meet our expectations. We choose to retaliate when we're wronged. We choose to get angry. We choose to hoard God's resources for our own comfort. We choose to judge others because it makes me feel better about my own sin. The wide path is easy to choose, and it leads to destruction. We've got two verses that hang on our walls to the sides. You know, we're talking today about loving people, but that's impossible unless we look at this side and love God. It's impossible to have the kind of love for our neighbors and for those around us unless we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's not easy. Right? How do we do that? Jeff talked last week about relationship. He talked about how do we have a relationship? How do we pray? How do we have a conversation? Because without a conversation with God, there is no relationship. We need to wait on Him. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock. We have to see God for who He is. He is perfectly trustworthy. I'm going to go to another passage. I'm going to get you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 25, verse 31. As I read through this, it's a lengthy passage, but as I read through this, let's focus on what leads to life and what leads to eternal punishment, because that's what we're talking about in our main passage. Right? Because it's talking about the narrow road and the wide road. Matthew 25, verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence. And He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the King will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me, and they will go away into eternal punishment, and the righteous will go into eternal life. He will separate the sheep from the goats. What are some of the phrases that we heard? We heard, gave me clothing, cared for me, visited me, fed me, gave a drink, invited me. These actions come from a heart that is transformed by Jesus. The actions do not lead to salvation. The actions are a result of a repentant heart, trusting in Christ, and a life that is transformed by Christ. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. In verse 40, it says this, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. These are the people who will inherit the kingdom, the ones who will have life. This is the same life. It comes from the Greek zoe. As we see in Matthew 7:13 in the narrow road. They will have life, and life abundant. In this one, it's talking about eternal punishment. In our section in Matthew 7, it's talking about the wide road leads to destruction. James clarifies this in James 1. There's going to be lots of verses, so you can watch on the screen or you can turn in your Bibles. In James 1, 22 to 27. James is very clear. He doesn't mince words. He says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do it, what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. These are almost the same words. God in His sovereignty has welcomed us into the game. Loving our neighbors doesn't give us salvation. God already did that in sending His Son to die on a cross for us. We receive that gift through faith in Christ. But as we learn to love God, and as we ask Him to change us, to transform us into the likeness of Christ, it leads there. It leads to loving those people around us. So how will we be changed? How do we be transformed into the likeness of Christ? Because He has so many attributes. And it's not the omnis. We won't be all-knowing. We won't be all-powerful. It's in all the other attributes that He exemplified for us, that He role-modeled for us. It's in His love, in His joy, in His peace, in His patience, in His kindness, in His faithfulness, in His self-control. It's in all those things. All those things, all those changes happen as we take the narrow road. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul says, now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Let me say that again. All glory to God, because it is in His work in us and is way more than we can imagine. Way more than we can imagine. The key is God wants to do something amazing through us. He wants to partner with us. You know, we want to complain when we see injustice. And God's saying, answer the bell. He's saying, that's why you're there. This often sounds like, you know, you can get to think that this is about us then. Right? Because we're talking about actions and we're talking about helping our neighbors and we're talking about doing all those things. But Paul, in the beginning part of Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, he clarifies this. He said, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. This is the tension between what we do and God's sovereignty and His grace. This is where we live. Our works are a result of that grace that He has extended to us. Our choice is, are we going to choose to walk in those good works that He's prepared for us? And when we truly love Him, we will follow Him. He doesn't make us do things. He allows us to join in His mission. He is perfectly sovereign. He has created good things for us. And He's invited us to be a part of that blessing. But there's lots of scriptures that talk about how hard this road is, because it is the narrow road. That's where we got from here. We can't do it alone. We need to partner with Him. We need to trust Him. In Luke 9, 23 to 25, Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? If we're going to come after Him, it's going to be hard. It's going to be lonely, and it's going to hurt. That's what He's called us to. That's what He did. We're to become like Him. Let's think about all the things that He did when He came. Right? Think about His ministry. Think about the suffering. Think about all the things that He went through. He's saying, though, to trust Him. Because the wide road, The wide road is the road that the world is screaming at us to take. It is marked with destruction. The narrow road leads to life and life abundant. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it, Jesus is saying. But why should we trust Him? Because that does seem overbearing. That does seem overwhelming is the word I was looking for. That does seem too hard. In Matthew 28, Jesus gives us the Great Commission. But it's also reassuring. He tells us His mission, but He also reassures us. Because Matthew 28:18, he says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus tells us he's in charge. He has been given all authority. And don't worry, I'll be with you to the end of the age. But previously, he keeps talking about that he's going to have to leave, right? He keeps saying that he's going to have to die. He keeps saying that he's got to have to go. Then what? And so he reassures them over and over again. In John 14 and verse 15, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. Jesus won't leave us. All authority has been given to him. He's given us the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, the same Spirit that he gave before he was led out into the desert to be tempted by Satan. The same Spirit lives in us. That's what he gave us. He says, don't worry. You can trust me. I am trustworthy. You may be scared along this road, but you can trust me. So what does this look for us? What does it look like? Where does it start? Well, it starts with me. And it starts with you. It's trusting in God, in his sovereignty, because we can't do it ourselves. We have to trust him. We have to rely on him. What would it look like for a group of people who are so in love with their eternal Father that they trust him, follow his Son's example, love their neighbors as they want to be loved, to live this out? We know we need to get in the game. We see it, but we've seen a glimpse of this. We see it in our body. On Sunday afternoon, we heard 12 testimonies of people being baptized saying that they're trusting in Jesus, saying, it's been hard, it's going to be hard, but I choose to trust in Jesus as they enter the waters of baptism. We see it in our life groups. We see people coming to Christ. We see people caring for their neighbors. We see people sacrificing for one another. We heard about it this morning in the Martins family. That's the narrow road, right? Giving up family to welcome and introduce new family to Jesus, to be his hands, to be his feet in Victoria, so that many, many more people will hear about Jesus, to give their lives, for lives to be transformed. That is the narrow road. That is the road less traveled. That is a road that is marked with loneliness, but that is right in the middle of his will. That's why Jesus came. We see it in Freedom Session, where people see their own brokenness, reveal it to God, repent from their sins, and ask Jesus to come and change them and transform them. We see it in changed lives that Jesus is doing amongst us in them. You want to hear more about that? Come back tonight, because we're going to hear testimonies of Jesus changing lives tonight. We see it in our children's ministry, and Jeff talked about it, where they're teaming up with other churches to put on a week-long island adventure camp to teach kids about God and connect with their parents. This is Leora saying, you know what, why don't you come and be a part of this and we'll do it together. It's not about building a ministry empire. It's not about us. It's about Christ and Christ alone. It's about getting out of Jesus' way, obeying Him, and allowing Him to build His kingdom. We've seen the fruit in the children's ministry. We've seen kids come to Christ. We saw baptisms through children's ministry that on the screen this morning. We see it in the lives in the children's ministry volunteers who are alive in Christ as they serve, teach, and point to Christ. You want to serve and be involved in what Jesus is doing? Leora is looking for volunteers in two places. Island Adventure Camp, July 21 to 25. You will be blown away by the passion of the kids and of the volunteers. I trust you, you will not be the same after that week. Leora is also looking for volunteers for the summer. Summer's a busy time where people go away and they come and they go. You want to serve and help? She's looking for help. Talk to her. Because we see it in children's ministry now. We saw it yesterday as there was at least 15 people went out, and because the city asked us to come and give them a hand in painting over some of the graffiti over in Campbellton under some bridges. Over, I think it was at least 15 people who came out and just wanted to serve and love their city. They gave up. Originally, the councilman, Ron Kerr, thought it would be maybe 2 days. Might be very long. In about 2 hours, we knocked the whole thing out. But this was a group of people who just wanted to love their city, who just wanted to help redeem it. Right? But it's not just in formal programs that we offer here. This is my favorite part. Because I get to talk about Dave and Marlene Scott, who they still are. They're members of our church. They are in our seniors area. They're of that age. But quite a few years ago, they felt Jesus put a burden on their heart. And they chose to leave this and go and serve down at Radiant Life. They felt called to help, serve the homeless, the disadvantaged, the people that people have forgotten. It was at a baptism service where I was talking to Dave a couple of years ago, out at McIver Lake, actually. And one of the things that he shared with me is he goes, Adrian, you know, he goes, I wasn't prepared what it would do to my heart. He goes, another thing, he goes, I wasn't prepared the first time that one of our prostitutes came and hugged me. He goes, I wasn't prepared for that. But he goes, I can tell you we were called to it. They left this group to serve in another church to meet those needs of the least in our community. We're not talking a large church. Radiant Life Church at that time had about 12 people in it. And they're feeding the homeless week in and week out. Right? They did it without fanfare. And they continue to do it. That road is lonely because they serve so many people each and every week. After a couple years passed, other people followed their lead, and ended up also serving there. I know Ben and Linda Riley have been regulars there, and other people in our church go and help. And when we're talking about service, they don't just show up and serve. You know, they buy the food. Let me say that again. They buy the food. They prepare the food. They serve the food. They clean up after it. They sit with the people. They love them. They listen to them. All the things in the passage that we're talking about. That's the narrow road. That's the road that leads to life, though, Jesus says. He says, trust me. I have a quote that I wanted to share with you. It's by Henri Nouwen from Bread for the Journey. And it says this: the society in which we live suggests in countless ways that the way to go is up, making it to the top, entering the limelight, breaking the record. That's what draws attention, gets us on the front page of the newspaper, and offers us the rewards of money and fame. The way of Jesus is radically different. It is the way not of upward mobility, but of downward mobility. It is going to the bottom, staying behind the sets, and choosing the last place. Why is the way of Jesus worth choosing? Because it is the way of the kingdom, the way Jesus took, and the way that brings everlasting life. So what is Jesus calling you today? What is he asking you to sacrifice for him? Who is he calling you to serve? Who is he calling you to feed? Who is he calling you to love? What is he calling you to invest in the kingdom? Because the one thing is, he will always be asking you to risk. Because once you risk and you've done that, he's going to continue to do that. Because the road is narrow and not well traveled. He has prepared good works for us. But we have to choose if we're going to live for him or for us. What would that look like if we trusted him? Not just with the relationships with people that we know. What about that step out past where we can see with those relationships of people we don't know? Or that further step, what would that look like for those people where we don't necessarily have great relationships with? What is he asking us? Have you ever felt left out? Because the good news is everyone needs Jesus. Because as we walk down that narrow road, as we struggle, that will affect us. That will affect our relationships, and that will affect our city for Christ. Getting back to my early story of climbing up that rock face, right? As I bring it back to what we're talking about, that's Jesus holding the rope, and he's saying, I got you. You don't need that helmet. As you climb up, as you seek me, as you love others. He said, I got you. You may fall, but guess what? I got you. And you can fall a little bit, but I got you. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I'm with you. And then he's going to call me to go back up. I need to realize how Jesus saw me, how he sees me. He saw me in my sin, and he still loved me. He still went to the cross for me, even though I'm selfish. This passage is saying, Adrian, who are you willing to serve? Because I do. I want to be like Dave Scott. I want to be the one who has to rely on Jesus, who is willing to hug the untouchable in our city for Christ. And not sadly, but with abandon. Because I can tell you, when Dave told me this, he had a smile from ear to ear. It wasn't sad. It was hard, but there was joy. That's what I want. So you might have life. He doesn't want you to just get by. He wants you to have life. Because it's in that struggle where you need to trust him. He knows what's best for you. He wants what's best for you. I think it's comfort. I think it's security. I think it's all of that. And he says it's none of that. We did a church consultation about 2 years ago. And one of the things that they asked us, the staff got interviewed one at a time separately. But one of the things that they asked all of the staff is, in the last year or two, or I can't remember how it was worded, so I'm really paraphrasing here. Don't hold me to the exact, but really what they were asking was, what has CRBC risked for Jesus? What are you risking for Jesus? And I kind of felt then like I feel right now with the bright light shining on me, because that was a difficult thing. What have we, what were we risking for Jesus? You know, that was one of the things as we came out of the church consultation. And so we saw things like we wanted to invest in leadership development. We wanted to be outside of our church. We wanted to be living out the Great Commission. We wanted to be loving people. And that's really what we have to ask. What does that mountaintop risk look like for us, for each one of us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you that you are perfect and holy and righteous and loving and merciful and just. Lord, thank you that you have shown us how to love. Thank you that you have given us people like Dave and Marlene Scott on how to live out our faith. Thank you for Pastor Robin and Leanne and their family as they show us as well of what it means to risk for the kingdom. Lord, I just ask that you open our hearts, open our minds today.